and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I feel like my voice cracked when I did that, and it definitely has to be because I had too much fun this weekend. I stayed out late. I went to my friend Stephanie's wedding. Stephanie is a fellow Disney person. It was wonderful. I was seated at a table with a bunch of Disney people. It was wonderful. The wedding was beautiful. She was like maybe the most beautiful bride I've ever seen. It was incredible. The whole night was great. I stayed out a little too late, but it was very fun and I had a wonderful time. I really like jam-packed this weekend. And it feels good because the upcoming weekend is going to be filled with what I call panic packing. Panic packing. That's when you bring a baby to Disney World, but you also need to pack everything you might ever need at any moment to make sure she has everything. I'm that type of anxious mother. So I'm a little worried we're going to have about 4 suitcases. It's going to be fine. Listen, it's going to be fine. I have to do our grocery list later today. I have to decide if I'm going to take the chance and see if the grocery will have the diapers we use. Or listen, nobody wants to hear about diapers. All you need to know is that basically the second this podcast episode comes out, I am in the Disney World zone. So get ready for a lot to come, which is partially why this episode is happening this week. I was plotting out our schedule because, yeah, I got to schedule stuff out. Got to fit in 2 naps in that day. It's tricky. It's tricky. Didn't realize how tricky it was. Very tricky. And I'm really prioritizing what we want to see when we're there. And the list of priorities is very different from the last trip because, as you're about to hear, I'm prioritizing things where it might be the very last chance I get to see them. I never know when I'm going to come back to the parks. I never know when I'm going to come back to the parks for work solo versus work with baby with me. So there's a lot going on. But everything else is good in my world. I rediscovered the jar of watermelon Jelly Bellies, the superior Jelly Belly flavor in my office, and I have been pillaging them. They are delish. I guess that's all the big news for me, isn't it? Yeah, that's about it. Every week, so much stuff happens, and I'm like, oh, I got to talk about that at the top of the show, and I send myself an email, and I don't see it until the moment after I record this. But one of the things, okay, now I'm remembering one thing I sent myself. Someone on Twitter posted the most kookaloony Muppets button-down shirt, which I'm going to seek out when I'm at Disney World next week. Oh my God, what a beautiful sentence. Disney World next week. It's been a few months and I missed it so much. It's like, you never really look forward to flying in like row 26 until you're going to Disney World. It's like, if I'm flying to New York, if I'm flying somewhere else, like back in the plane, I'm not really thrilled to board. But this time it's like, heck yes. Start the countdown. We are on our way to Disney World. I'm going to Disney World and Universal. I have WDW brain at the moment because of this episode. We are going to Disney World. We are going to all 4 parks. We are going to Universal Orlando. We are going to all the parks. We are doing it all. We are staying at both properties. We are getting Gideon's. We're going out for dinner. I'm writing food stories. I'm doing it all. So there will be a lot of podcasts to come. So this is a short little episode because I'm preparing for all this happening. But yeah, that's it. Okay, I'll turn it over to future me on the episode. But otherwise, hope everyone's doing great. Hope your eclipse was nice. I hope you didn't look directly at the sun. I fully missed it. I googled what time is it, and I googled that 10 minutes after it happened, so I did not see it. But thankfully, I've seen other people in their cutie little glasses and friends and videos, and it was very cool. Yeah, that's all. Okay, enjoy this week's episode. Talk to you soon. Bye. Oh my gosh, wait, hi, it's me. I finally remembered the one thing of this week that I wanted to talk about, and that is that I finally got a Harmony Barbershop reservation. Pearl is officially getting her first haircut on Main Street, USA. The promise that I made, the premonition I had for, if you're listening to this when the ad is still running, I was doing an ad for a company about Harmony Barbershop playing into it. Anyway, if you've heard that ad, it's finally gonna happen. I got a reservation. I will be reporting back about that entire experience. I've never been to Harmony Barbershop. I can't wait. I'm literally gonna cut like the tiniest little wisp of Pearl's hair. I just want to make sure I get it in before she's finally like needs a full haircut because she's a big kid. Okay, there's more to come there, but a new to me Disney space will emerge in the next few weeks. I can't wait to share with you all. Okay, we'll get into the episode. All right, bye. Welcome back. As we teed up with last week's podcast, we're in this liminal space where we are 121 days out from D23. With conventions always come big announcements, but also low-key closures, the types of highs and lows that are natural for somewhere like Walt Disney World, an ever-changing place for which we have everlasting love. We've seen lots of discussion in the financial news sector about turbocharging Disney parks around the world, but a little bit less about what that means for us diehard theme park fans who are obsessed with these places and have so many experiences, memories, and nostalgia tied up in everything from tiles to restaurant seating to benches to attractions to lands to characters and everything in between. We saw a whole bucket of news come out of Walt Disney Imagineering this week, which we will be discussing later today, but I realized that as we lead up towards D23, we really should start preparing ourselves for what's next, beginning with how you approach your summer trip. Because if you're anything like me, your next visit to the most magical place on Earth needs to prioritize what may and possibly will change in the near future, often too soon for you to make that lickety-split last-minute trip back in that short window before things actually close. So before we get started, I want to mention a disclaimer. Anything that I discuss here that's not official is just conjecture. It's just conjecture. A lot of this stuff has been announced, and I will cite exactly where it has been when that happens, but otherwise, when we get real loose with it towards the end, these are just educated guesses. I have covered many D23 fan expos in my life, and I'm going with my gut on some of these because I know how this works. For every Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway announcement comes a great movie ride closure announcement. It is essentially the circle of theme park life. And I'm just here today to wave a little flag that reminds you to be conscious of these things when you embark on your summer Walt Disney World trip. So with that, we will start with the most official thing that is happening. Dinoland USA. Yes, everyone's favorite bonkers goofy land is going to undergo a reimagination to become themed to tropical Americas. Walt Disney Imagineering has been going on research trips to prepare. They even shared footage of their trip to the Yucatan Peninsula, which means that the design process here is well underway. Although this has been a much discussed topic in the past few days, it was actually first confirmed for Destination D23, which happened late last year. Why does that feel like a million years ago? A million years ago. It was like only a few months. It was last year. And yet, anyway, this is an aside, but it feels like a century ago. Okay, anyway, back on track. As part of that event, they released the following info. New experiences inspired by Encanto and the fan-favorite adventurer Indiana Jones are being considered for the reimagined land at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Walt Disney Imagineering is planning to reimagine Dinoland USA at Disney's Animal Kingdom into a new land inspired by a region sometimes referred to as Tropical Americas. As part of their research, Imagineers are looking at some of the most biodiverse areas on the planet in the regions just north and south of the equator here in the Western Hemisphere, the northern part of South America stretching up into Central America. So that was official language, and the verbiage that they use is what we call in the biz hedging. They are considering these things for the reimagined land. But it looks like that consideration is now official because Disney has confirmed that they moved from the blue sky or kind of dreaming up loosey-goosey, don't hold us to it, no promises phase, into the actual design phase of converting Dinoland USA into Tropical Americas at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Those words are hard to say and I don't know why, but I'm sure it'll get better with time. So last week, WGI released a ton of information in conjunction with their incredible new YouTube series, by the way. The YouTube series is called We Call It Imagineering. The first episode is all about audio animatronics. It revealed truly how superior Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to be. The audio animatronics in that look unbelievable, but that's not what we're here to discuss, but like an aside, incredible. Go check that out. It's fantastic. Anyway, as part of those reveals, some of which we will discuss in a bit, they also dropped this secondary video, one on WDI's socials cross-promoted with Disney Parks on Instagram, that offered this early peek at what will be coming to this area in Disney's Animal Kingdom. We'd seen an artist's rendering, a kind of inspirational drawing of what the land could look like out of Destination D last year, but this new video not only showed footage of Imagineers on that research trip, but more importantly, a sneak peek at the 3D model of the land as a whole. And this Dinoland conversation? It's blue sky no more. I'll put links to everything in the show notes, but it's gonna be a whole land, a big old chunk of theme park. And it lines up quite nicely with the image they put forward months ago. There's what appears to be a shape similar to Casita from the film Encanto. Cough, cough. It's like kind of what it is, but I don't want to say it because I don't say it. But anyway, it's Casita. It's definitely Casita. Scott Gustin shared that he saw concept art of a new carousel plan for the land that is not yet public. They have not revealed what that theming is. I've seen people guess online. I'm going to wait for the actual theming. I'm going to bet we'll know more about this in August at D23. However, it is time to officially say goodbye to this land as a whole, especially the widely beloved yet ultimately terrifying dinosaur. It's interesting, really, because this news has always felt more rumor than confirmed, even though this is basically the second time they've half confirmed what's happening. We know facts. This area is being turned into tropical Americas. Facts. We will undoubtedly learn more about this at D23 in August. And while Indiana Jones has only been floated previously, and you never want to look too much into concept art, one of the buildings in the artist rendering has almost exactly the same facade as Indiana Jones Adventure Temple of the Crystal Skull, the version of Disneyland's Indiana Jones Adventure ride at Tokyo DisneySea. Does it also look like the historical sites that they visited in the video? It does! But does it also look like a literal place they've already built and wink-winked towards maybe converting this ride into? That too! So take with that what you will, but with one half of that 2023 announcement pulled out of the hypothetical abyss into reality, I would bet my money on the Indiana Jones aspect not being a possibility, but a guarantee. So, of course, prioritize dinosaur on your next Disney World trip. But that's an obvious one. That's not what we're here to discuss. If you love the Boneyard Playground, Restaurantosaurus, Donald's Dino Bash, do not skip it on your next trip, because you never know if it'll be the last. And beyond that, possibly most importantly, enjoy the small bits of this land. The layers of theming, the jokes, the levity. It is original to this park, and there is so much humor and whimsy and care packed into it. So take photos of details. Take photos of your family and friends and anyone you travel with inside this land. These are the streets of America, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie set adventure photos of the future. These will wind up as part of a nostalgic Instagram tweet or TikTok post of the future, if any of those still exist. So cherish it early while you can, before it's too late, or the land is packed once its closure date comes through, whichever comes first. And especially the things that you never really do. Personally, I don't eat at Restaurantosaurus that much, but will I be walking through to kind of bid it adieu? I will be. And just so you know, I truly practice what I preach. I essentially swore off of ever going on dinosaur again because it is terrifying. It is terrifying. And I will be going on next week for one final ride. I am so scared. I didn't know what I was scared of until I went on dinosaur for the first time and was like, it's this. It is this. But I'm going to be brave, and I may even keep my eyes open for a ride. I'm not promising anything, but I may keep my eyes open. However, that's not all I'm recommending for Animal Kingdom. My trip to Animal Kingdom will likely have no Everest, no Flight of Passage, and no Festival of the Lion King, because instead I will be beelining towards the Tree of Life. Yes, It's Tough to Be a Bug is on the chopping block, and I would bet my life on the fact that we'll get a closure date at D23. In another case of the, it really felt like this was a rumor, but apparently it's legit news, the upcoming change was announced back in September 2023 when Disney confirmed a new show based on Zootopia was being created for the Tree of Life Theater at Disney's Animal Kingdom. At the time, this is what they said. The current concept for the new Zootopia experience has guests visiting the different biomes you only glimpse in the film, traveling along with Judy Hopps, Nick Wilde, and other characters. Imagineers are currently finalizing the concept, and more details will be coming in the future. Since it's been crickets since that announcement, and Expo falls around a year from that initial word, keep your eyes peeled and your butts cruelly attacked by squiggly bugs. And make sure you say a premature goodbye to A Bug's Life's current show within the Tree of Life, because I'm going to go on it, and whenever that announcement comes out, this will be my last ride. And then there's Test Track at Epcot. Word came down this week that it will officially temporarily close on June 17th. If you recall, this was first revealed at D23's Parks panel back in 2022, and poised as an update in partnership with Chevrolet that kind of looks backwards towards World of Motion specifically, to honor the future of technology with an artist rendering that featured sleek black vehicles driving through what appears to be a sunlit forest. Now, it's tough to say goodbye, and so soon, June is soon, but I have an unbelievably great feeling about this one. I think this ride needs it. I mean, really? Really is driving around the Epcot parking lot the highlight of this attraction? And I think this test track upgrade will be worth it, even with the likely impact it'll have on other ride wait times at that park, just because it's such a crowd favorite and they are going to do it right. I really can't wait for this. I'm like planning this episode. I got really, really excited about the test track changes that are going to come, because a ride with theming like this in 2024 really needs to lean into what is next for the automotive industry, especially when it comes to technology. And I think these updates have the possibility and the probability to reflect that brilliantly. I mean, just here in Los Angeles, there are cars out on the street that are driverless. Like, it's time for an upgrade, and it is going to be so worth it. We're going to take a quick little break, and then we'll be back with some other thoughts, including some of those unexpected educated guesses of what you should shove to the top of your two-ride list for your upcoming Disney World vacation. Stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince. But no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. So we got to talk about the other big news from last week, because there was yet another huge piece of news from last week's newsplosion, you might say. Disney is, at long last, making good on that somewhat bizarre "Go on, girl, give us nothing" blue sky announcement from D23 2022. We will actually finally apparently discover what is beyond Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, since Disney revealed that they are, I'm just going to quote our boy Scott Gustin here, currently in the process of filing permits for development work behind Magic Kingdom that will prepare the area for a future expansion expected to be the largest expansion in the park's history. This dovetails in very nicely with last week's podcast, but it also finally confirms that Disney fans have something huge to look forward to down the road at Walt Disney World, but specifically at Magic Kingdom. There is going to be a massive brand new land that is essentially now confirmed, and that is great news, regardless of when it opens. But here's why this is such a big deal. Back in 2023, they described this expansion as similar in scale to Pandora, the World of Avatar, or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And it coming to the flagship park of Disney World, that will shift the balance of this park, making it even bigger, even better, with even more to see. It's sounding like it's going to be a doozy. And outside the bounds and caveats of last week's discussion, I am so stoked that this is finally officially moving forward. But what does that have to do with this episode about what to ride before news arrives knocking at our door? Well, I don't think, or to be honest, I don't know. I don't think Big Thunder Mountain Railroad will be affected by this. I can't imagine it will. However, we're going to toss our net out and see if we catch any told-you-so fish. And I'm going to say, which I'm a little nervous to say on mic, I think we got to start talking about Tom Sawyer Island. Okay, nobody panic. Nobody panic. Let me clear the air. This is not based on anything. No gossip, no random rumor on a website. This is just my expert educational guess. Because look around. Frontierland is undergoing change on all angles. You've got Tiana's Bayou Adventure on the way. You've got Country Bears being updated and reimagined. You've got the rumor. I know, but bear with me. The rumor that Frontierland Shootin' Arcade may be turned into a DVC lounge, which I know is a rumor and we don't do rumors, but I mention it because whether or not that is ultimately true, it's believable. Reinvigorized again, not a word, don't know where that came from, but when you combine energized and reinvigorated, it really does give you the perfect word to describe an update to a Disney ride, doesn't it? Reinvigorized. All right, anyway. And that's because Frontierland is undergoing a major vibe shift. Add to it that WDI just confirmed this expansion, and this end of the park just went from being a land of its own to the most essential thoroughfare towards the biggest and possibly coolest thing Magic Kingdom has ever cooked up in the next half decade. And you start to look at everything on the Frontierland path a little bit differently, including ye old Sleepy Island. Because what we're doing here is pinpointing what undervisited attractions could be reinvigorized to draw in more crowds than before. And generally, when Disney reimagines something, it does boost its popularity. You have to think of these parks like an executive sometimes. Where are their areas for expansion? What is beloved by fans that could use an improvement to intrigue even more theme park goers? And Tom Sawyer Island is one of a few things we're about to discuss that really kind of fits that bill. You see it, right? Everything is changing in that space. People are going to be walking en masse that direction to get to whatever this new expansion will be. Tom Sawyer Island is land with potential right in the mix of what's about to be the newest, biggest thing Walt Disney World is creating. And while those permits they mentioned last week, the water management permits that will be filed in the next few weeks that will finally give us a glimpse of what may come for this Magic Kingdom expansion, there is a clear pattern of update happening along that path. I'd include Pecos Bill in it, but I got no nostalgia for that place anymore. Please update it. I don't think anyone will mind. Now, I really know nothing on this. So could it be like the Country Bears revamp and still hold what it is true to its essence? Could it be completely different? I have absolutely no idea, and I'm going to admit that on mic. But like I said, we're going to toss our net out and see if we catch any told-you-so fish. And this one just feels right. You see it, right? Imagine you're walking into the Magic Kingdom. There's a brand new land. You're walking past new Country Bears through updates all the way past Tiana's, all the way to this new expansion. It just kind of makes sense that there's kind of empty space there that they could improve upon. But this isn't the only thing that I'm casting my gaze on. I am also, on next week's trip, preparing to say goodbye, I don't even want to say it out loud, to Spaceship Earth. Yes, I am resuscitating the Spaceship Earth panic based on nothing but my gut. But again, it just makes sense. Now, a Spaceship Earth overhaul was originally announced years ago, and it was delayed indefinitely, but I would not be surprised at all if bringing that back is one of the big D23 announcements. And here's why. Epcot is nearly done finishing this major multi-year transformation, and as much as I adore Spaceship Earth, it is a ride-or-die attraction for me, it does feel a little bit like a fossil in the center of so many new shiny features. Like, picture Epcot from above, okay? Zoom out on Epcot, the Spaceship Earth in the center. On its right, you've got Journey of Water inspired by Moana. On its left, you've got Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, Connections Cafe, Connections Eatery. Beyond that, Test Track, which is about to be updated. Right in front, World Celebration Gardens, Dreamers Point, which opened a few months ago. Literally everything around it has been updated as part of these Epcot changes. And with Communicore Hall and Plaza on the way this year, opening June 10th, it just feels, as Thanos would say, inevitable. I mean, you see it, right? You see, you've even got giving out the points of light lighting package on Spaceship Earth that debuted for the 50th and stayed because it's the most amazing thing ever made. It's just a feeling. It's a feeling there. I feel it. It just makes sense to me. I feel it in my bones. I don't know. But the way I see it is that if you're remodeling your entire house and you redo the living room, the dining room, the bedrooms, the kitchen, and you're just hanging a new lamp in your entryway and not redoing it, even though it definitely needs to be updated, it doesn't add up. It don't add up. And I think we are ready. We've had the time to mentally prepare for this go around. Maybe only speaking for myself. But I will be bidding it adieu on my trip next week. It's just like every time I see the electrical water pageant, and it just feels like maybe they forgot about it. They didn't. I mean, if they get rid of electrical water pageant, I will riot. If there's like a little casita trailing out in back, I mean, actually, that would be very cute. I don't think I hate that. If they I don't want to wish them to upgrade that. I still love how old and weird it is. But you know what I mean? Everything around Spaceship Earth has been updated, is new. Epcot is nearly done with this gigantic project they've been working on for years. And it just kind of feels like it's happening. Disney fans gotta stay ready. That's my job, to make sure you do. And I am here to encourage you to ride Spaceship Earth and just cherish it. Just hold it closely. Just hold it closely on your next visit. Now, what does this mean for other similar things that have always been rumored? Rafiki's Planet Watch, Conservation Station, Wildlife Express Train. Will that happen this time? I don't know. My gut is pointing towards those two. My gut is not pointing towards this, but I think it is inevitable that will happen eventually. However, I would not be surprised at all if Tom Sawyer Island or Spaceship Earth winds up on the D23 news docket. So on your trip to Walt Disney World this summer, I highly recommend you visit those things just in case, just have it in the bank. So you, like me, don't feel immense guilt about not giving the great movie ride one final ride. Should have done it, didn't do it, and I don't want you to carry that burden. That's all I have for this week. I encourage you to definitely prioritize that on your summer vacation. This is a little bit of a shorter episode, because I will be going to Disney World in a matter of days, but I will be in touch next week. I think we have an episode next week. Yeah, we have an episode next week. And have so much fun on your upcoming trips. And if you have any planning questions, especially last minute trips, traveling with babies, not that I'm living through that at the moment at all, give me a call at 747-TOUROS and I'll be happy to guide you along. Oh my God, so much is changing. Oh, I can't believe I have to go on Dinosaur. Ah, I'm scared.
Hey, Carly. Yeah, this is Erin calling from LA. I am going to Walt Disney World in a couple weeks, and I packed on an extra day for me to just sort of hang around the parks by myself. I'm very excited to look around, sort of poke around and do the sort of slower, relaxed, hangout vibe of the park. But I did have a question about dining. I have a reservation to dine at Cinderella's Table, for one. Is that in the realm of totally not worth it, too sad to exist? Like, how many bits would I need to do to, like, feel like would the character stuff be good, weird? Because I was very pleased to have gotten the reservation. And then now with the menu, I'm a pescatarian and the potential weirdness of being alone. Although, that could be fine. Just wondering your thoughts on solo dining, Cinderella Table, pushing 40, thoughts and feelings. Much appreciated. Also, so sorry about the beginning of this call. Thank you for your help. Okay.
What a brilliant question, and hopefully a conundrum that I can solve for you here. So when it comes to Cinderella's Royal Table, the princess character dining meal inside Cinderella's castle at the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World, just so we're all up to speed, you get to meet Cinderella, a handful of other princesses, enjoy a 3-course meal, and essentially take in a portion of the castle in Magic Kingdom, like the castle, that you can't really see otherwise. And when it comes to Cinderella's Royal Table, you're not really going for the food. I mean, the food's not that bad. I haven't been there in years. And honestly, I was looking at the menu and it looks way better now than it was when I last went. But you're essentially going here, going to CRT for two specific reasons. One, you're going to meet the princesses. And two, you're going to see the inside of the castle. So if you're feeling a little about it, let's break it down. Is it the dining solo aspect or the dining solo with princesses aspect? Because I am absolutely dying at you talking about doing bits with the characters. I know exactly what you mean. If you're anything like me, any interaction with a Disney princess, whether it be here at a meet and greet, anything, it all makes me uncomfy. Because talking to royalty, first of all, stressful. I am a nobody. I am a plebeian. What am I doing here? I have an inferiority complex and it comes out. But second of all, the Disney princesses are so beautiful and elegant and charming that it's intimidating for me, a clumsy, messy, grown woman, to engage them in conversation, an art form that they are excellent at. So that said, I still don't think that should keep you from dining here. Because while you seem to be on the fence, like you aren't sure, you already booked the reservation, you aren't sure if you should keep it, I want to go back to one thing. And that is you saying you were excited when you booked it. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why I think you should go to Cinderella's Royal Table. Sometimes traveling solo at Disney World can give you this little like, is this weird to do this alone? I don't know. This like ambiguous anxiety feeling. But as someone who has been to Disney World by myself many times before, I encourage you to focus on this instead. You leaving the extra time in this magical space and what it has afforded you, which is an incredible opportunity that most people don't get. You're able to do what you want, when you want, in Walt Disney World. There's no family dragging you to another park, no friends making you wait in line for something that you simply do not care about. This day is all about you. And if you want to see this space, you want to finally dine here and just know what it's like, do it! Do it! You nabbed the reservation. It is a tough reservation to get. And you're going to eat some Parisian gnocchi or crab-topped catch of the day. Yeah, I checked out the menu for a pescatarian. You're going to get to see the view from inside the castle out into the park. Highly underrated in my point of view. The inside of the space, too, is beautiful. That's lovely. And yes, you may stumble over your words when talking to Aurora or Ariel, but you'll have accomplished something that made you a little nervous. You'll have identified that it made you nervous and overcome that. And on top of that, you'll have checked something off your Disney bucket list. And maybe most of all, Cinderella's Royal Table is $84. So doing it solo is also extremely cost effective. So because this day, you have annexed this day of your trip for you to do whatever you want, I think this is the perfect opportunity to do it, even if you're not totally sold on the experience. I think you should absolutely dine there. Give it a chance. Again, you're only paying for one person, which is a win in this place. $84. I feel like 1,000 years old yelling about prices now. But if you had to take two friends there, I mean, this is inherently cheaper. So I think you should do it. Keep the reservation. Enjoy yourself. Giggle along at the princesses. They do a wonderful job leading conversation. Just play along. Enjoy yourself and really just take in what is one of the kind of sacred spaces at Disney World that you can't access on the daily, on the regular. I think you should do it. And if you do it, call back. Let me know how it is. If you want to call me from the restaurant, that's totally fine too. I encourage you to do it and have so much fun. You're going to see inside the castle. Oh, it's so exciting. Have so much fun. Thank you for calling. Okay, bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening this week. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. Again, we love when you do it. We love to see it and we greatly appreciate it each and every time. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. You can send us a voice note. You can email it to 747churros@gmail.com. And yes, I know that recently I said we are doing a big Churros Hotline recap episode roundup. Not a recap, because you got to hear them for the first time. We're going to do so many. So we got a handful of calls this week that were great for that. If you have, this is your like final warning. I know last week is the final warning, but sometimes if you're like me, you sometimes need an extension on projects and it's totally fine. So if you hear my warning within the next few days, please get it in before the cutoff. And we will be doing a big ol' Churros Hotline. Hotline episode. And I also want to shout out, again, because sometimes calling and using your phone is very stressful. Even me who talks into a mic for a living, like this is my job to talk into a mic. If I have to call my doctor, a living nightmare. I do not want to do it. So just know, if you call and you mess up, you can hang up, you can call right back. It's totally fine. If you mess up mid-call, you can say, oh no, and just panic, and it's fine. No one's going to hear it but me, and you can just start again like a minute in. It's totally fine. We will edit it so that your call sounds clean and lovely, so don't even worry about it. Don't let that be the barrier that keeps you from calling, because I've called into podcasts I listen to, and I get so flustered and so stressed out, and I'm like, I can't call back. I already called once, I can't call back. You can absolutely call back here on Very Amusing. Don't worry about it. I will only listen to the newest one if applicable. So don't even worry about it. It's totally fine. And we welcome your calls and your goofs, because then I just feel like you guys are just like me. We're all the same. It's really nice. There's comfort in the goof. You can pick up Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. And you can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all the platforms, on social media a little bit more these days because I'm fully back at work. I'm on Threads. I'm on all this stuff. And you can join the Family at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. You can also subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel, where I post little behind the scenes things, little snippets of daily life, just extra bonus, I don't want to say content, but content on my Instagram stories. It's really fun. It's basically like a close friends feature with anybody who wants to come join the close friends club. And it's a great time. And I will be posting there while I am in Disney World next week. So if you subscribe now, you'll get all of that and be able to enjoy it. It's fun. It's like hanging out. It's like, hey, like going out. It's like going out with your friends. Going out with your friends, but in your phone. And you guys are my friends. That's totally great. It's fun. Anyway, it's 99 cents a month. So I went to buy a loaf of bread today. I think it was $14.50 for a loaf of bread. So 99 cents feels real accessible. I left the restaurant. I did not buy the bread. And I ate a piece of canned fish on its own, which was pretty sad. I didn't think the bread was going to like dress up the canned fish that much. But anyway, $14.50, I'm not buying a loaf of bread for that much. This episode was edited mechanically by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I just listened to your Mishmash podcast. It was very good. I think I got a little stuck on what a hub was, so I looked it up and I didn't know what it was. So it said that it's the central part of a wheel. I'm so lost. I'm not sure what that is. Epic Universe, I got a little confused still, but I know about some of the rides. I do. I'm very excited about the recreation of Paris. That intrigues me. That's my favorite place. The Isle of Burke, I don't know what's going on, dragons, I'm so confused. But I know that my friend just took her grandsons to Universal and in Orlando, and she said it was so much fun, and they got to see Born live, and the grandkids really loved it. So there's a bunch of other things that they saw that was great. The Hulk, Harry Potter. So they had a really, really good time. So Disney Cruise Line has two new ships I'm very excited about, the Disney Treasure and the Disney Destiny. I hope we get to go on one of them. That sounds amazing. And I know you've had a busy, super week lately, and I just want to say thank God I subscribe. I know I was one of your first subscribers. Thank God I subscribed. I know what you're doing. I know what's happening. I see extra pictures of Pearl that I don't have. I love it. It is so much fun. I enjoy watching you. And I think everyone should subscribe to this because it is so great. It's so personal, and I love it. I love you, honey. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. And I'll see you next week. Literally. Bye, honey.